My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, the voice of the Cape.
This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the news.
It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. Just gone 3 minutes past eight. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh, and my tech tonight is Shuaib Williams. We're talking football tonight. I have two guests. First up, we're talking the Euros with former Santos striker Duncan Crowe. And then we chat to Bubi Solomons, who's the technical director of coaching at SAFA Cape Town CAF D3 coaching course that ended today. We'll find out about that. Then we also catch up with the SAA captain, Zubair Hamza, about his career best 222 against Zimbabwe in the first four-day unofficial test match. Now, you can also join that conversation. You can WhatsApp 0829-913-913 for any comments or questions. But before I chat to Duncan Crowe first, let's catch up with the latest news coming through today. Novak Djokovic, of course, winning his 19th Grand Slam title, beating Stefanos Tsitsipas of Greece in five sets. There he won 6-7, 2-6, 6-3, 6-2, and 6-4. New Zealand, of course, beating England by 8 wickets in the second test to win the two-match series day, England's first home test series defeat since 2014. We've got some local results as well. One WhatsApp message coming through. Assalamu alaikum. I just want to take this opportunity to wish the Pro Stars Football Club seniors well done on their victory today. It was Pro Stars versus Lentegeer, and the score there was 4-2. Also a Coke Cup qualifier, and comfortably made it to the next round of the 2021 Coke Cup. Goal scorers was Linton Fortune with one goal and a hat-trick from Mizan Peterson. Well done, guys. That comes from this Pro Stars management team of Ridwan Vermeulen, Alim Isaacs, Faik Leke, Nizam Karolison, Rafik Jones, Laik Oliver, and Haji Azmi Hendricks from Upper Manenberg. So well done there to Pro Stars. Also, the Cape Districts Football Association, we've got some results from yesterday's matches in the Super League. These are some of the results coming through. South End beating Greenwood 4-0. Southampton beating Blue Bells 5-0 there. Wesley beating Clarewood 2-1. FC Kafta and Grassy Park played to a 1-1 draw. Salt River Blackpool beating Ocean View 1-0. And Montague Spurs beating Estefanian Autry 6-1 there. In results from the Premier League, Ashford Athletic beating Nitros 4-2. Cape Town Fusion, well, they had a bye this weekend, as the Devonshire Rovers. Nortuk beating Ambassador 2-1. Were Wolverhampton losing 3-2 to Eagle Wings. And Spenston and Bridgetown playing to a 3-3 draw there. So that's some of the local results coming through from the Cape Districts Football Association. Time now to say a very good evening to Duncan Crowe. Duncan, very good evening, and thanks for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me, Feroz. My pleasure.
Now, Duncan, of course, we're talking Euros, but sad news as well. Some interesting matches, sad news as well. We'll get to that in a bit. Let's take a look at some of the results so far, Duncan. In Group A, we had Italy and Turkey. Italy winning that one 3-0.
3-0, Wales, that's right.
Yeah, and Wales and Switzerland playing to a 1-1 draw. No real surprises there in that first group games?
Not really. Italy, remember, Italy has been out of World Football World Cup for the last, 2018 World Cup. Everybody expected them back again because they are a world-renowned nation when it comes to football itself. And it was a surprise when they were out. But they're going to be the dark horses here in the Euro 2020. Yes, they played against Turkey. Turkey didn't play that well last night. Everybody's saying that Italy was all over Turkey, which it was. But then again, on the other end, if you look at the way Turkey played, they sat back most of the time waiting for Italy to come, hoping to catch him on the break. Because remember, only two teams goes through, and in four of the groups, the best third place team goes through. Mm. So it's quite easy to go through. I think the way Turkey played it, they wanted at least a point against the favorites in the group, Italy. So that is why they sat back. But the person must not underestimate Turkey.
Yeah, look, I agree with you there. I had that discussion with someone as well about the way Turkey played. But I must say, Roberto Mancini has turned around this Italian team. They had some issues, and then I think in 28 games or so now, they're unbeaten. So for the first time I saw them the other couple of weeks ago in one of the friendlies, and they really look like a very good team that could possibly, as you say, a dark horse, could go all the way.
Yes, quite a few, talking about Roberto Mancini, quite a few countries are not happy with the coaches that they've got at the moment. Italy is one of the teams or one of the countries that's happy with the coach. And like you've mentioned, 27, 28 games unbeaten so far. We know the Italians to be very defensive. But last night it was quite enterprising. Going forward, going wide, getting the ball into box, getting numbers into the box. So if they can do that very well, because we know they can play the defensive game very well. That's all the Italian clubs' forte. They're quite good at that. So the way they played last night, they're going to cause a lot of surprises going into the knockout stages.
Just looking at some of the key players from that Italian team, Duncan. I know in the defense, they've always had a good defensive setup. You got Bonucci and Chiellini, and then up front they rely a lot on Insigne, who's really impressed a lot, and Immobile as a striker. Yeah. I mean, all round they've got a very good team.
Experience at the back. If you want to win something. If you want to win tournaments like this, you need a solid defense and you need goal scorers. What you've just mentioned now is world-class players in those positions. Mm. At the back, you've seen the experience with Chiellini going forward. He actually missed two opportunities as well. Yeah. He had two opportunities to score from set pieces. So that is the quality that he brings to this team. Immobile, looking at his name, all over the show as well. He scored last night as well. Quality player. And those are the players that will pull them through this tournament.
Now, of course, backup staff will play a huge role as well. And just, you know, when the cameras go on to the backup staff, there's one face that really stuck to mind there, Gianluca Vialli. See, he's part of that Italian setup as well. So his experience, he must be adding a lot there as well.
You know, when it comes to the coaching side of things, that's fine. Everybody can coach. Everybody can. The coaches and the managers are there to put those things into place. But the added thing as far as Gianluca Vialli is concerned, and also we'll maybe talk about the Belgium setup when Thierry Henry was involved. You know, they played in these competitions, and they know exactly what's going to happen next, and the experiences that they've experienced throughout their tournaments. They can explain it to the players. The young players in the squad. And, of course, that is how they will learn going through this tournament.
Now, the other results, Wales and Switzerland playing to a 1-1 draw. No real surprises there?
You see, a team like Wales, they had their coach. You know, there's a situation as far as Ryan Giggs is concerned. The new coach came in. Not much is expected at this stage, but they've got world-class players as well. Ramsey didn't do that well at Juventus this year. But, of course, we know the situation as far as Gareth Bale is concerned. Even though he didn't play that often at Real Madrid, Jose Mourinho didn't play him that often at Tottenham Hotspur as well. But we know he's a quality player. He didn't shine that much last night, but believe me, quality will eventually prevail.
Now, I'm sure we'll agree that Italy should top this group. Who are you backing to go through as runners up?
I will go for both teams that play the opening game, Italy
and Turkey.
And Turkey being second.
Fantastic.
Then they will have to fight maybe for the best third place team between Wales and Switzerland.
So as you said earlier, there's still lots up for grabs because you can go through as one of the best third place teams. So it's not all lost if you don't finish in that top two there.
No, that is why it's not so exciting for me because, you know, everybody's a little bit cagey, especially the teams that's not that think they're not the favorites, they're not going to make it through. Then they play for a draw. They just play not to lose. Mm. And if you play not to lose, you will sit back and hope to catch the team on the counter, on the break. So that is what will happen. Most teams at the bottom of the log, they will play at KG hoping for that draw. But when it comes to knockout stage, of course you want to win. Then you will have to go from end to end. And that is when the exciting soccer will be played.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk about Group B. We saw what happened yesterday with Christian Eriksen and Finland-Denmark game. Of course, Finland, I think it's their first major tournament, you know, winning that one eventually when they decided to come back and play. Of course, it's not nice. I mean, you've been a professional footballer in any sport for something like this to happen.
Man, you don't want to see this on a soccer field. You don't want to see this anywhere, on any sports field for that matter. You know, I was sitting and I was watching and I was looking at the people watching the game around me. Everybody felt it. Even though they were supporting Finland, or doesn't matter who you were supporting at that stage, you don't want to see something like that happen on the any sports field, like I've mentioned already. And I think the broadcasters could have done a little better. At the beginning, they were closing in on Ericsson. Maybe none of us knew at that stage what was going on. Mm. But as soon as they see CPR being done on a player, zoom out.
Yeah.
Focus on something else. Even though eventually, when the players started surrounding Ericsson, ensuring that nobody sees, or no camera or no photographer takes photos of Ericsson, then most probably they realized, hold it, let me zoom out. They still zoomed out, but the person could still see what was happening on the corner of your TV screen. Mm. You know, looking at the faces of the players. And that's something you don't want to witness anywhere.
No,
I can imagine how that players felt.
Yeah, you could
players
see that.
Players that talk to him every day, players that play with him. Yeah, I'm a stranger. I just know him from soccer. And I was emotional when I witnessed that. And that's something you don't want to see.
No, absolutely. Well, the latest is that he is stable, he's fine, but apparently he did have a cardiac arrest, so we wish him all the best. But I was just reading something on BBC as well, that Peter Schmeichel wasn't happy with the match starting thereafter again. What's your thoughts on that?
I think when he was in hospital, he made a few phone calls. They've mentioned two phone calls that Christian Eriksen made. Mm. He phoned the CEO of Inter Milan, the club he plays at, and he spoke to the players in the group, telling them he's fine. Apparently, he spoke to his teammates as well, of Denmark, telling them it's fine. Go ahead and play. So that was already a sign. That should have been a sign to everybody or people around him. Don't worry, he's fine.
Yeah,
he's fine. You know, if a player was still out of breath, couldn't breathe properly, still had the mask on, wasn't allowed to take the mask off, then it's a different situation.
Mm.
But they were given an option by the tournament organizers: continue playing on that same evening, or restart or play the game again at 12 or 12:30 the next day.
Mm.
But the manager or the coach of Denmark decided, instead of going back home, sleeping, getting up after this happened and go play again, that would have been more difficult for the players. That is why they decided, let's continue the game.
No, exactly. So one good positive as well is to see the medical team acting, you know, as quickly as they did. I think that was brilliant to see as well.
No, fantastic. And apparently I didn't see it, but one of the players was the first one there to give him CPR.
Yeah, it was the center of the captain.
That's right. He was the first one to give him CPR. I didn't see it at the time. Mm. But, you know, it makes a person think, me being involved with junior football, being a coach as well. And it shows the importance of the medical staff as well.
Yeah.
You know, our soccer has grown here in South Africa, and that is one thing we must bring onto our technical team as well. It doesn't matter, we're thinking of this now, but for other injuries as well, head injuries as well, and for us as coaches to do these first aid, the basic first aid courses. If you're the first one there, if there's nobody there, then at least you know what to do. Not only technical stuff at coaching courses, but the medical part of it, first aid part of it as well.
Yeah, I think that's also important. If anybody's listening out there and you play in any form of sport, please at least get someone in your team to do some first aid training, because you need somebody there to act when things like this happen, and you know, that can be so important.
And it's a good thing as well, you know, when Lukaku scored, when he scored in the next game for Belgium.
Yeah.
Remember, they played together at Inter Milan in Italy.
Mm.
He ran to the camera and he shouted, Chris, I love you. Mm. That was also a good thing to see.
No, absolutely.
You know? Yeah, fantastic.
Now, talking about Belgium, obviously, in the other Group B game, they're looking very good, I must be honest, beating Russia 3-0. That man, Lukaku, I mean, bringing his club form from Inter Milan into the international stage. His statistics is phenomenal, Duncan. 62 goals in 90 games, again scoring two last night. He's just in the form of his life at the moment.
Fantastic. It's hard to believe that this is the same Romelu Lukaku that played for United, Manchester United in England. As soon as he moved over to Italy for Inter Milan, he just started banging it in. And last night, he continued that as well. I'd like to see a player like him doing well. The way he took his goals as well, like a pure striker, big guy. He showed his speed last night with the, I think it's his second goal that he scored when he outran one of the defenders, scored a fantastic goal. Belgium, number one in the world for the last few years, last 3 years or so. Their soccer's on the up. But this is most probably their golden generation. And I think this is the last opportunity for them to win a major competition. They reached the fourth place. They reached a semi-final of the World Cup in 2018. They lost the third and fourth place playoff to England. Everybody expected them to go all the way, being the number one team, and that's what you expect of the number one team. Saying this is the last chance for them to win a major trophy, 10 of the current squad of 26 is 30 and over. So they've got to be in a rebuilding phase after this tournament. If we talk about the World Cup is next year and then a few years thereafter. So this is most probably the last time for them to win something. Most of their players are at the peak. They're the oldest squad at this tournament, but their players are on form at this stage. We've mentioned Lukaku. Unfortunately, De Bruyne, Kevin De Bruyne couldn't play last night because of injury. Eden Hazard didn't have the best of seasons at Real Madrid, but he's still a quality player. He showed it when he came on last night. His appetite was absolutely fantastic. He showed the exciting form that he showed at Chelsea a few years ago. He was also a doubtful starter. That's most probably why they played him off the bench, gave him a few minutes so that he's ready for the next game. And that is a player, one of the players that I think is going to cause a surprise. His quality... He didn't play well at Real Madrid, so everybody's expecting him to be just another player. But we know what he can do.
Well, it's just a frightening thought to think that he's still, Roberto Martinez is giving him some game time, giving him some minutes. As you said, we saw what he did when he came on. And obviously, if they get to the knockout stages, he's going to play a bigger role. And of course, Kevin De Bruyne, the two of them coming into the team, is going to take them to another level. But like you said, it's the golden generation, and this is a tournament that they most probably would definitely want to win. So would you say would go through besides join Belgium? I'm sure Belgium will top that list of going through.
Finland, even though they won last night, I was thinking about Denmark. Denmark is one of my teams to go through. The World Cup in South Africa 2010 and in other World Cups as well, the team that wins the World Cup, they've lost their first game. It happened here to Spain in 2010 as well.
Yes.
And so we cannot write Denmark off yet. Even if they end up third, they could be going through, as we've mentioned early on, the third best place team. Third team in the group. So I will go for Belgium and I will go for Denmark, not writing off Russia there as well. Finland, even though they won, they need one more point to go through, but I think they're going to be hard-pressed to get that one point from the other two.
No, absolutely. Duncan, we're just going to take a quick ad break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. Just gone 22 minutes past 8. We're talking Euros, and my guest is the former Santos striker, Duncan Crowe. Duncan, we come to Group C now. We just had one game just completed, Austria beating North Macedonia 3-1. I don't think that much is much of a surprise there. North Macedonia, a tiny country, I think playing also in their first tournament. I think they would just be happy to, be part of the tournament.
Yes, to tell you the truth, I didn't even watch. I watched part of that game because the tennis seemed to be more interesting at that stage, with Djokovic being two sets down and coming back and winning 3-2. But in looking at North Macedonia, they must probably be the luckiest team to qualify. They qualified via the Nations League competition. But saying that, they the first team and only team to beat Germany. In 20 years in the World Cup qualifiers, not so long ago. Now, if you can beat a team like Germany, you're not Minos really. But we know they're not going to go very far. So there is something in them. Hopefully they will cause an upset somewhere in this group, because Austria is there, Netherlands is there, Ukraine is there, and of course they are there as well. Austria, on the other hand, we know we've got the players like Alaba. That's the only real standout player that plays for a top club in Europe. How far they will go is also very difficult to say. That is also a dark horse as far as I'm concerned. But this victory tonight, you know, 3 points, you need 4 points, 5 points maybe to take you through as a third place team. So, yeah, there's a lot to play for in this group.
And obviously the next one coming up at 9 o'clock, Netherlands taking on the Ukraine. That promises to be a good match, that one.
Yes, Holland always been, Netherlands always been a quality team, entertaining team, a team that I always look forward to watching. You know, Netherlands started their campaign. Remember, they didn't qualify for Euro 2016, the last one. They didn't qualify for the World Cup 2018. So there's a new building phase. And Ronald Koeman was the one who started the building phase until he left for Barcelona. Now Frank de Boer took over, and he continued with that rebuilding phase. And, you know, they qualified with ease. They're playing with confidence. They're very positive about the football, as we know the Dutch can be. But the recent result has not been that good. The recent result has not been that good. And as I've mentioned earlier, you need good strikers. More importantly, good defenders. So when you want to win tournaments like this, and we know, as many call, the best defender in the world, Virgil van Dijk, not being around. Matthijs de Ligt not playing tonight because of a groin injury. Groin injury can keep you out for long. And even if he comes back, who knows? Will he aggravate that injury again? So he will be a doubtful player for this duration of this tournament. So that's a big setback for them if they want to go very far. But the star player, Frankie de Jong, didn't set the scene alight at Barcelona. They will be looking at him to turn the to turn games for them here in this tournament.
And of course, up front, they'll be looking to Memphis Depay there to add some power up front. So who are you backing to go through from this group?
In this group, Netherlands and Ukraine.
Of course,
the two playing tonight.
We saw Group D get underway early on, England beating Croatia 1-0. You know, I spoke to a friend earlier on. They said he said that his view was that England, with the starting lineup that they produced, was a bit more on the defensive side. There was no Sancho. There was no. I can't get the other gentleman's name now. But what were your thoughts on that?
Man, I won't say it was very defensive. They've got quality in midfield. Yes, you can say we want to play Grealish and Mason Mount, and you want to play Foden, all these players, but you cannot play all those players. Yes, they are attacking players, but they are also all the same players. You've got to be have in your midfield a player or players that protects your defense. And you need your midfielders that can help the strikers. Now, all the players that I've mentioned that are exciting players in England, the Grealishes, the Fodens, the Mounts, they're all forward-going players. And I reiterate, you need a good defense. And at number six, the one playing in front of your back two, that is the main player protecting the defense and making the defense stronger. So, yes, the good thing about that is they can replace one with the other, knowing that another quality player will come into that engine room to make the teams play. And if you go forward, if you look at the forward line, Sterling, yes, he didn't play that often for City, for Manchester City, but he got the goal. That can boost his confidence. My main player and was probably the best, in my book, the best striker in the world, Harry Kane, didn't play that well tonight, but we know, give him a half an opportunity, he will turn it into a goal, or he will set up somebody. The one who scored more goals than anybody else in England, as well as more assists than anybody else in England. So that will come to the fore here as well at this tournament. And I hope that he sets the scene alight, because he's a quality player and his attitude is an example for young players.
And of course, Calvin Phillips from Leeds, he's quite impressive as a holding midfielder. Not really, he does his job. He's not like a very fancy player, but he does his job.
If you talk about him, you don't even see him in the game. He does his job. He's got a big engine. I mean, like most Leeds players, big engines, and then play the role in front of the back four or the back two, where they've got that triangle going, giving the ball to the playmakers. You make the play. I'll break it down when it comes this way again. So that is the players doing the dirty work that don't always be seen. They are the real players that makes the team good or not.
And, of course, tomorrow we'll see the other Group D match, Scotland taking on the Czech Republic there. Your thoughts on that game?
I would like to see, you know, since the days of Kenny Dalglish and Mukhari and all those players from yesteryear, Peter Lorimer, I'd like to see that era of Scottish football coming back. Quite a few of their players play in England. The league is not one of the best in the world, but we know they've got quality players. They need just a confidence booster, especially in the group games. And we know in the knockout stages, anything can happen. I put them, Scotland, I put them down as the dark horses. And I can't wait for the game between England and Scotland. Real derby.
That rivalry.
So I will go for, I will, if, this is a tough group. Everybody talks about the last group as being the group of death. Mm. But if you look at this one, Czech Republic, Scotland, Croatia, then Scotland is most probably the one that will lose out. They will most probably be the team ending fourth in this group. But I hope they make it through, at least in the third spot for that matter.
And then Group E, of course, Poland, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden.
The Spanish team, since 2010, you know, when since the Iniestas and the Xavis and those guys disappeared off the scene, the Spanish football has gone down. If you look at most of the players in that team, not the recognizable names. There's not even one Real Madrid player in this squad. But we know this is one of the top leagues, and I put them down as one of my dark horses.
Okay.
You know, the Barcelona youngsters coming through, and hopefully something will happen in this tournament for them without Messi, though.
So who you tip to go through from Group E, Duncan?
I will go for Spain and Sweden in this one as the top two.
And then, of course, everybody's group of death, Group F, Hungary, playing Portugal and France, taking out Germany. You know, that is a very, you have to play from the first game, I would presume. You need to get those points on the board there.
Man, you've got to pick your games, I think. Just about everybody can win this group, except maybe for Hungary at this stage. If you look at France, they're the favorites, even though they rank, I think it's second in the world, behind Belgium. They're the favorites for this competition. And we know in 2010, they came here to South Africa as one of the favorites as well. But off-the-field behavior made them lose their way. The same thing already, there's a story coming from the French camp that after the last friendly, Giroud wasn't happy with Mbappe for not passing to him, Mbappe walking off the field after being substituted, not looking at the manager, not looking at everybody. Everybody's talking about him having an ego. You know, can that be a disruptive factor in the camp? I think definitely it can. And especially an influential player like Kylian Mbappe. You know, he's young. But at this stage, everybody's in the Spanish team, not everybody, but most are looking at him to be the one to score goals and the one to create opportunities from the wide area. So they've got to put that aside, the behavior of this of the field, and become a team. Individuals don't win competitions. It's teams that will win competitions. And for teams, for a unit to become a team, they've got to push in the same direction, not one this way and the other one the other way. So if they can put that aside, they will win this group. And then, of course, it's between Germany and Portugal for that second and that third spot.
Yeah,
if you look at Portugal, just when we come back, take 4 years back. Portugal, when they won the last Euros, that was 2016, when they won that competition, they won only one game outright. All the other games were either draws or extra time or penalties for that matter. So, and they came through the group stage as the third place team. Mm. So, you know, a lot of things can happen, especially when you get into that knockout stage. That is why I've mentioned right at the beginning, the exciting part, the interesting part. I won't say the interesting. The interesting part is how they play, the tactics. Who goes all out to win? Who plays not to lose? Happens in the group stages. That's not so exciting. That's interesting. But the exciting part happens in the knockout stages, because now it's going to be from one end to the other, because both teams will have to score a goal to go through to the next round. So I'm looking forward to that part of the competition.
Fantastic. Duncan Crowe, thank you very much. Thanks for your thoughts and views. And I'm sure we'll catch up when the knockout stages start and see how our whatever you chose, whichever team to go through. Let's see how we're doing, how correct we were. But thank you very much for your time, and enjoy the Netherlands game.
No, thank you very much, and it's my pleasure.
So that was the former Santos striker, Duncan Crowe, sharing his thoughts on the Euros. We're talking coaching now, and on the line we have Bobby Solomons. We're trying to get hold of Mr. Bobby Solomons. We had him on the line. The line just got cut off. We're going to be talking coaching. The CAF D3 coaching course ended in Stellenbosch today, and we'll find out how that one went. Just going to run through some of the fixtures that's coming through later on. Of course, there's one game there in Group C, Netherlands taking on the Ukraine. Group C kicked off today as well. Austria beating North Macedonia 3-1. Group D, England, they beat Croatia 1-0. Raheem Sterling, they're scoring for England. Tomorrow we'll see Group D in action. Scotland taking on the Czech Republic. That starts at 6 and then 9 o'clock. Group E is in action. But I believe we do have him on the line. We say assalamu alaikum to Mr. Bobby Solomons. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and salam alaikum to all the listeners out there.
Now, as the technical director of coaching SAFA Cape Town, that you started that or ran the course this week was the CAF D3 coaching course. Tell us about this course.
Yeah, this is quite an exciting venture for us in Cape Town, because due to the pandemic, you know, when nothing was happening, we embarked on online coaching and having online workshops. So then we put together our workshops to educate the coaches and to give them something to do. And we also reached out to over 800 coaches during that time. And we said to ourselves, you know, why can't we do the CAF course licenses online as well, seeing that we have done so well and we laid the foundation? So then we asked SAFA to give us the permission, and then they gave us an opportunity to launch a pilot project online. So then we did it very successfully, and we did actually far more than what the normal CAF D licenses did. And so much so that now we started our third CAF D license online. And what we do is during the week we do theory, and we can do it at a nice convenient time when the people come home from work. So we do it from 6:30 to 9:30 on 3 days of the week, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And then Saturday and Sunday, we do the practical. So we cover the same amount of hours that is required on a CAF D license. So it's 30 hours theory and 32 hours practical. So we covered the amount of hours that's required, but we can do it so much more efficient and so much more creative because of it being online. So, alhamdulillah, we are now in our third course, and we are very excited. We have covered, in our last two courses, we have covered over 150 coaches, which are qualified with a CAF D license, which means African Football Federation license. It's even higher than a SAFA license. So CAF licenses are recognized by FIFA. So that is the importance of the license that we are dealing with at the moment.
Now, how does one get onto this course?
Well, you actually apply via the provincial body, which is in our case SAFA Cape Town. You apply through the provincial body. We put you on a list, and the good thing about the course also is that we can save the coaches much more than what they used to pay. So in the past, they used to pay 2,000 Rand, 2,500 Rand to do a CAF D license. Now, because we are online and we cut down a lot of expenses, we cut down a lot of hiring expenses, we cut down a lot of food supply and all those, and even venue expenses. So we managed to bring it down from 2,000, 2,500 Rand to only 700 Rand. Mm. Because then it saves the participants also a lot of money. And it also saved them time because they don't have to take off from work now, you see. So because we have a Saturday and Sunday practicals, and most people don't work Saturday and Sundays. So then they apply through SAFA Cape Town, and then they forward their money into the banking account, and then we put you on the list. And for this particular course, we had over 70 applicants, and we SAFA only want us to do 30 participants at a time because of, you know, having to look at them carefully. Our instructors must analyze them, evaluate them, and make sure that they are up to speed, up to standard. But with us doing it online, we can do far more. And also, when we do the practicals, we have quite a few instructors in Cape Town that can assist us. Then we break them up into groups, which makes it much easier for us to handle on the practicals because it's only over 4 days. So we are very, very well organized, alhamdulillah, where that is concerned. And the participants love it. Those that have been in previous CAFD courses mention how different it is to what they used to do. Even our graphics, our presentations are far more up-to-date and more colorful and using, things that the youth like, you know. They don't like reading the lines and lines and lines every time and listening to people talking and talking and talking. So we made it interesting. We have a lot of graphics. We have a lot of color. We interact with them regularly. We make them do assignments. And also, we discovered a great way of giving our assignments to the coaches and them returning the assignments to us. So we use Google Classroom, which is a platform where we submit our assignments, all our information, we put it on there. The participants access Google Classroom, and then they get all the information there. Then they take the assignment, they do what they have to do, then they return it on the classroom as well. Then what we do is we grade it, we send them the remarks, and we send it back. So it is a new way of teaching. It's a new way of learning. I mean, even the schools and the universities are all starting this because of the pandemic. But it's the future. It's the future. It's the future methods of learning. It's the future methods of teaching. And it is getting information over to people.
Bobby, so fantastic. We're just going to take a quick ad break, and we'll continue after this.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. It's just gone 8:45. We're talking to the technical director of SAFA Cape Town, Pubi Solomons. We're talking about the coach, the CAF D3 coaching course, which concluded this weekend in Stellenbosch. Now, after that, the theory, the practicals is done over 2 days. I take it that all those that attended the theoretical section of the course had to be present for the practicals, Pubi?
Yeah, no, they do. They have to, because to get the license, they have to do the practicals. We are very serious on those courses, and we don't allow absenteeism because, you know, when people are absent, you can't just provide them with certificates and licenses. So this is a serious matter. It's an African course. It's a CAF course. It's not, you know, something that we're doing in our township or whatever the case may be. So we are very serious. Also, because to keep the cost down, we also get sponsors, you know. So we managed to get Built It to sponsor this course, obviously, and most of it, all the teachers that are on the course is because of the Built It programs that they used to run at the schools in tournaments and stuff. So because of the pandemic, it's not there. So we managed to get Built It to sponsor this one. Then also we got Stellenbosch University, who sponsored the venue and the soccer field for us. So they formed that. And then we got Stellenbosch Football Club, who also offered to sponsor the meals for the coaches, you know. So for the 4 days, their meals are covered, the refreshments, and we've got university fields. And Boldit is coming to the party for us in big time, you know, providing T-shirts for the for the players and the participants and even the youngsters, because at the end of the festival, at the end of the course, we've got a festival where over 60 youngsters come and the coaches do a festival for them. Quite exciting, on the field there, well organized, and that is actually the way we grade this, the participants for the Cat B license. So they look nice, they all got the same sweaters. Well, it also are going to give them all watches. So all the participants will get watches, and all the young players that will come, that we will use, they will also get watches and vuvuzelas and all those things. So we make it quite exciting for them and for the participants, so that they leave there with enough knowledge, they leave there with enough information, and also they are ready to take on their teams, and especially the youth. We need quality coaching at the youth level. I mean, here we're watching the Euro and we're watching Belgium. Belgium, who 10 years ago, 15 years ago, were number 66 on the FIFA rankings. Mm. Now they are number one. So I and a lot of our people investigated why, how did this happen? Because Belgium only got a population of 11 million about. And I mean, look at our population, look at our quality, look at our potential. Why have they moved from 66 to number one? And this is what we are busy with. So we need to educate our coaches. We need to get quality coaching from a young age. Because once our players are over the age of 16, 17, it's no use. Whatever you're going to teach them, it is far too late. You know, so we need to get them when they are 10, 12 years old, and then give them the proper stages of development so that they can add to what they have, which is their raw potential. And I mean, if you look at Africa, if you look at South Africa, the potential that we have, and you compare them with those European teams that you saw on TV, I mean, they don't have half the talent that we have. All those European countries don't have half the talent that we have, yet they are able to progress so far and advance us in so many factors. And it only comes down to the coaching, the quality of the coaching, the mentality, getting the physical conditioning and the psychological preparation right, you know, and giving them the right tools at the right stage of their career. And this is what makes the difference. They don't get the right tools at the right stage of their career, which means that you can't climb the ladder because there are so many steps missing. Mm. And I equate it with somebody that starts schooling in grade one and somebody that starts schooling in grade seven. You can very well know that the person starting in grade seven is definitely not going to know the things that the student that started at grade one. And that is exactly the same with our sport. It is exactly the same with what is happening in soccer. That is why we are battling. We are battling to close the gap between world football and ourselves. And that's why myself and a lot of our other coaches has realized this. And now we're pumping our coaches with information and knowledge so that they can put over what they learn into the youth that we have today. Because we can have probably find Banyana players or Bafana players in our midst. We don't know. So if we don't give them the proper training, they will never reach a Banyana and Bafana level.
Absolutely.
And we have so much talent in Cape Town. We just need to harness it. We need to put them on the right track. And we need to get their mind in the right place so that we can again dominate football in this country.
Fantastic. Bobby Solomons, thanks for that update and all the best to you with your future coaching endeavors.
Shukran very much, and shukran to you, Feroz, for all that you do for sport in the country. We appreciate you and what Royal Radio Voice of the Cape are doing and all other people that contribute to upliftment of our people in the country. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam. That was Bobby Solomons there telling us about that CAF T3 coaching course that's finished this week in Stellenbosch. Of course, as he said, if you're interested, you need to go through SAFA Cape Town. Let's take a quick ad break. When we come back, we'll wrap up.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum, just gone 8:52 and welcome back. We're going to wrap up now, but just before I leave, I'm going to play you that interview I did with Zubair Hamza. I caught up with him in the week. Of course, he scored that career best 222 against Zimbabwe A in the week in that first four-day test match. Now, this is what he had to say about that innings and, of course, some other performances in the match and about that match as well. So I hope you enjoyed another edition of Inside Sport. I'll be back on the drive time with more sporting news from me. Firoz Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.